people, let us now come before the throne of grace and corporately confess our sins. Will you please lift your hearts with me again in prayer and praying the prayer of confession? Merciful God, how fickle we are.
We sin against you without even knowing it.
Clear us, we pray, of any unknown sin, and save us from willfully ignoring your way. Let your commandments rule and guide us. Forgive us for worshiping anyone or anything except you. Keep us faithful. Forgive us for failing to honor all of our relationships with those closest to us and those who are distant neighbors. Help us to speak words of blessing and kindness rather than words that belittle or destroy. Turn us away from violence, falsehood, and selfishness. Forgive us for thinking everything depends on our efforts and power. For you are the God who made us. Let us out of slavery and has brought us into the community of faith. Help us depend on you alone and rest in your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, it was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. Through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in the spirit of prayer as we pray for illumination before we read God's word. Come, Holy Spirit, and reveal to us your word this evening. Amen. Our scripture this evening is from John 2, verses 13 through 22. Hear now the word of the Lord from the book that we love. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build the temple, and will you raise it in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Thanks be to God for this reading of his word. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. My family is a family of dog lovers, and we have chosen to acquire our animals through adoption, whether it be through adopting them from the pound or from a foster agency. And my sister has had the most recent adoption. She adopted Reginald Lewis, a.k.a. Reggie Lou. He is a Jack Russell mix. And for those of you who may not be familiar with the breed, Jack Russells are terriers, and they live life according to their nose. So they are really good for hunting, usually like small animals. And so Reggie Lou lives life with his nose ruling his life, and he is willing to go to any extent to get to where he wants to go according to his nose. So much so that one would think that after this dog had been on the streets for up to months, that he would be excited to be adopted. But Reggie Lou chose to escape his mother and his doggy grandparents every single day that he lived with her the first week that he was adopted. And the problem with doing so is when you're so brand new to a house, you don't know how to get back where you came from. And so they needed some extra help in helping Reggie Lou find his way. My sister and my parents, who are actually doggy daycare, have had to go to Herculean efforts to keep Reggie on his way. So they have reinforced fencing in both backyards. He has a light on his harness so that when he refuses to come in at night, they can find him easily and carry him back in. And thankfully, he's small. He knows how to escape from a vehicle. And so he now has a special seatbelt that he has to be belted in the car. And this last one came in handy last night. Because the dog catcher had found him and there's fines associated with such things, my sister bought him a GPS tracker. So he has a paw print GPS tracker on his harness. And last night at 3 a.m., she said, Reggie isn't in the house. He didn't come back in last night. She found him in the Schnucks parking lot, which is almost a mile from her house. So one would wonder, is Reggie Lou not happy with this new home? And I wondered that quite a lot because, you know, if you've ever adopted a rescue, like, it takes a while for them to, become bonded. But the reality is he's tremendously bonded to my sister, and he is even bonded to his furry sibling, a beagle mix named the cantankerous Maddie Mae. So despite never wanting to ever be separated from his master and being thankful for what he was given, Reggie is led astray by the things that he encounters in his daily life, and he still loses his way despite his best intentions. Similarly, in our scripture this evening, the temple leaders had lost their way. So let's look a little bit more closely at the passage. In our passage, the first thing we find out is that it's Passover in Jerusalem, which means that pilgrims have come from the entire surrounding area to come forward, because Passover was the time they would come to offer their offerings at the temple, and they would also pay their temple tax. Which is partly why we hear of selling of animals. Because in order for it to be a sacrifice, it needed to be an unblemished animal. But if I'm walking for days on end to make my pilgrimage to Jerusalem, what was an unblemished animal is often not by the time it makes it to the temple. And so they were actually providing a service for people who couldn't get an unblemished animal to the temple to sacrifice. The reason that the money changers were necessary is because money at the time had the image of the Roman emperor on it, and it was not acceptable to pay the temple tax with money that had the image of a person on it. And so they would have to exchange it for a plain coin to pay the temple tax. Which, because we know that both of these things were necessary for the temple to function, to complete its function or its purpose, why exactly did Jesus come in and make himself a whip out of cords and upend the tables? And the answer is not because the actions were inherently wrong, but because they had been twisted over time. You see, whenever there's money changing, there's always an opportunity for price gouging, right? Taking advantage of people who are away from home and dependent. The other thing is the location. We, from studying, we know that we believe that they were selling them inside the temple. It was the area called the Court of the Gentiles, which was set aside for non-Jews to be able to come and worship God. And so they had taken an area much like where we worship and designated it a marketplace instead of keeping it sacred for worship. And so, because of the price gouging and the change in location, Jesus' response is, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. We can see that because the temple leaders allowed this, they have lost their way. Now, this passage this evening is about the temple, which may seem, you know, like, ooh, yay, temple, you know, because the temple doesn't even exist anymore. But the reality is, we as Christians are temples. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so there's much we can learn from this passage. So what I would like for us to do is much like what the disciples did in hearing Jesus or seeing him, reflecting and thinking about scripture, I'd like for us to also reflect on the passage. Often when we read the Bible, one thing we can do is ask ourselves, where am I in this passage? And there's two places we could be in this one. We could be right there with Jesus, helping him make his whip. We could be coming along and fighting for righteousness with him. Or we could be the ones who are also being judged. And while we are called to fight for righteousness, and we are called to do those things, as First Federated Church does, being so mission-focused, I would suggest in this passage, we are more to identify with those who are being judged. That's for a few reasons. First of all, the Templar leaders should have known better. They were people who lived to facilitate the worship of God. And so they knew the scriptures, they knew the rules, and yet they had let this happen. I honestly think that they believed that they were doing the right thing. They were facilitating these pilgrims' ability to worship at the temple. I don't believe they had any intention of displeasing or opposing God with their actions. And yet, over time, the ways of the world had invaded gradually. I can picture the marketplace being outside of the temple. And then slowly over time, well, wouldn't it be more convenient? You know, the street's starting to smell like we want to get things a little more pleasing inside. I'm sure there's many reasons. Just kind of let's just scoot it in for some money changers. Oh, well, we better bring the animals in too. And over time, very slowly, subtly, with no intention of opposing God, things changed at the temple. In our culture today, it is very easy for us to lose our way. I think we can all nod our heads and agree with that, but like trying to quantify that is kind of difficult. And I just thought about how many decisions we have to make every day. Like just then I had to decide, am I going to gesture like this? Am I going to do something else? We make thousands of decisions every day, just as Reggie Lou gets to make lots of decisions when he's in the yard. Which smell am I going to follow? Am I going to dig under that fence like Mom just reinforced last night? Am I going to go back to a warm, cozy bed, or am I going to sleep at Grandma's tomorrow and have a good time on the town? And, you know, we're bombarded by media pretty much everywhere. It is really difficult to find a place where we aren't bombarded by media. And so that media, what they're trying to do is they're trying to influence the decisions that we make. So there's all this input trying to shift and tell us how we should make our decisions. And the reality is that our culture is out of step with Christianity. And so what we need to do is we need to regularly assess, are we going with the flow of our culture, or are we standing firm with our faith? So my question for you right now is, how have we let the way of the world gradually and subtly change us or what we do? Later in John's Gospel, in chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And from that scripture, we know that Jesus is the truth and he is the way. So if we can only know if we have been kept on our way and not wandered off the path, if we reflect on our life through the light of the truth, who is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who is the truth. It is he that reveals to us not only himself, but the truth about who God is, who we are, the truth about our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. And the problem with the truth is that it can be really upsetting. Just imagine those temple leaders. Every day they go to work, you know, they get their robe on and put their sandals on and do their prayers and stuff. And then they go into the temple. And so they're used to seeing the selling. They're used to seeing the money changers. So it changes location after a couple of days. You kind of forget where they were. You just get acclimated to what the changes are. And so eventually, having all this happen in the temple court was completely normal to them. It did not stick out as being abnormal. They lived their lives to serve God, and never intended to displease him, but they did. The truth can also be upending, just like Jesus and those tables, right? That means that the truth can require things of us that are difficult. It can require us to make changes, and some of those changes could be minor, just turn your path a little bit so you can stay on the path. But others of them can be major, like a complete U-turn in our lives. And we can see that the truth is upending because it says he upended the tables. There was no table left unturned in the scripture, and there was no person that was left untouched by Christ at the temple that day. So how will you respond to the truth? Are you willing to make big changes if that's what's necessary to make sure that you are on the way? As Christians who have chosen Jesus Christ, we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and this matters to us. So take some time this week or this evening even to reflect, how am I like the temple? How do I live my life, and how can I parallel that with the temple in the scripture? You might also ponder, how have we lost our way as we live in this world? We're here this evening as a part of the season of Lent, which is a time where we anticipate remembering Christ's crucifixion and celebrating his resurrection. And so it's a season of reflection and preparation. So will we reflect on our lives by looking through the light of Christ? Will we allow the truth to cleanse us and to help us get back on the way? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.